Test, test, test. See, making sure we've got sound.
To come.
Okay.
I hired a customer last night, I can't stay tonight.
Yeah, see, that's kind of how it works out.
They went to town in our office.
We all left two people.
I can't stay, but it, I mean, there is, if he can.
See, we are recording. So, welcome everybody, if we can do a quick roll call, and Sam, if you'll tell us who you got your partner for when we get to you. Rob, oh, you're, I'm drinking. Well, can you start with you, just?
Yeah, Rob Van Dyke, Kane County Attorney.
Reverend McCune, Cedar City Attorney.
Emma Johnson, UPC.
Marilyn Lawson, UPC.
Samantha Smith, Assistant City Attorney with Bluffdale City, and I'm the proxy for Stuart Williams with Clearfield City.
Bob Church, UPC.
Ed Montgomery, South Jordan.
Ron Waite, UPC.
Trent Dressen, UPC.
Brett Robinson, Sully County District Attorney's Office.
Jeff Gray, Utah County Attorney.
Just so y'all know, Tyson is training this morning. Looks like we've got Stu Young, who is joining us.
Hi.
Stu, welcome, everybody. This is Stu Young. Stu, this is the most of the council.
Okay. So I'm Stu Young. I know Brett.
Yes.
I don't know if I know anybody else here. I'm the new, what do they call me? Criminal Department?
Chief, yeah, Criminal Deputy.
Deputy Attorney General for the Criminal Department. I have been a federal prosecutor for a number of years. In Utah, I've been here for about 13. I was in AUSA in San Diego before that. In between that, I was a law professor for a bit. I'm learning the state stuff. So that's something that I'm kind of trying to figure out so far. But I'm really happy to be here. I'm really excited. Bob's been doing a great job running UPC, and I'm just happy to be a part. And, you know, whatever we can do to help training and other things. Training's a really big deal to me. At the U.S. Attorney's Office, I was a senior lit counsel, so I did all the training for the U.S. Attorney's Office for about 5 years. And I just love doing that. And so I'd love to be involved when I can, and, you know, just to help out. So, and I will have a meeting. I have division director meeting up at Heber Wells, so if I can just stay for a few minutes, kind of get a flavor, but hopefully I can come to UPC meetings more when they don't conflict with my schedule.
Yeah, Stu's going to be Derek's designee. Is Dan, will Dan
Dan
come
will come sometimes, yeah.
Yeah,
Dan,
sure.
Dan will come when he comes, and kind of, oh, thank you. Kind of the goal is I'll kind of be mostly the contact, but if you miss Dan, always feel free to call Dan and talk to Dan. You know, it's he and I are working really closely and stuff. So,
yeah. So why don't we go around again, just to everybody introduce, so Stu kind of gets an idea of who we all are. Yeah, please.
I don't bite.
Stephen Foote, Duchesne County Attorney.
Duchesne County, great.
Rob Van Dyke, Kane County Attorney.
Okay. Randall McCune, Cedar City Attorney.
Okay. Emma Johnson, UPC.
Marilyn Lawson, UPC.
Samantha Smith with Bluffdale City.
Okay. Yeah, so on the council, maybe explain when we do the transition. We've got four county attorneys and four city attorneys.
Okay.
Ed, member South Jordan.
I'm Ron, we met.
Yeah.
I'm Trent Dressen with the UPC, the Sex Assault Domestic Violence Resource Prosecutor.
That's right. Brett Robinson, Sully County District Attorney's Office.
Jeff Gray, Utah County Attorney.
Yeah, so the only ones we're missing is Troy Rawlings and somebody from Post.
Karen Walker.
Oh, and Karen. Oh, that's right. Karen.
She should be remote in. Is she?
I didn't see anybody come in. Karen is the chair of the Prosecutorial Assistance Association. And by statute, they have their chair is on the council as well. Cool. Okay.
Minutes, previous minutes. Move to adopt.
Second. I know Sam read the minutes.
Second.
Okay. Ed and Rob.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Budget.
Okay.
Year 25.
Yes. Any questions on the budget? We're in a pretty good place. I mean, it's still early in the year.
Anything we need to know?
No, I've been going to talk about a DB resource prosecutor and how that might affect the budget, but I can wait until we get to that topic.
I think we're at that topic.
Okay. So let me see. That is, that's for our next one. Oh, actually, can we go back? No, we can go back to that on the, let me flip the page. We need to come back to that one after the budget.
Okay.
I added that.
Okay.
So, as we've been talking for a really long time, wanting to separate split Trent, his responsibilities, and make him the exclusive sexual assault resource prosecutor, and then have a dedicated domestic violence resource prosecutor. As you know, indicated here, where Trent is spending his time, and Tyson and I were talking last night, we just don't have the resources to dedicate, you know, for domestic violence training to assist prosecutors. I do the DV training at Post. This is an aside, it's not in here, because this happened after I created this. I was teaching at Post last week, and one of the cadets, she volunteers at, I can't remember where I told you, but she helps with victims get protective orders here in Salt Lake County. And she raised the question, why is it so hard for Salt Lake County victims to get protective orders? And I said, I didn't realize that it was. And she explained that she herself had been a strangulation victim and was denied a protective order. She was working with a victim, and maybe it was the friend that she was working with was strangled, but there was strangulation involved, there was beatings, multiple incidents, and both she and some of the women that she had been working with trying to get protective orders were being denied in Salt Lake County. And I said, that was not my experience when I was down in Utah County. I wasn't seeing that type of pushback, that type of response. And so on a break, I texted Trent and called him that night, and he said that wasn't his experience in Salt Lake County. And so I don't know if she ever reached out to her. I gave her your...
I've not heard from her.
Okay. But it just underscored the thought that I had that if we had a resource prosecutor that was solely for domestic violence issues, that maybe this perceived problem could go away, or if we are having problems. And then as I pointed out, in the minutes, is that I would envision that a DB prosecutor could get in and not only train prosecutors, cops, but do maybe some second chairing, help with some motion work, getting a pretrial evidence admitted, so that prosecutors would be more willing to go to trial where we have a reluctant or a non-participating victim. And if we had that, I think that we could see an increase in successful DV prosecutions across the state. So last year, I went to the legislature, and in the Appropriations Subcommittee, I got they funded a full-time DV prosecutor, but then it went away by the end of the session. I met with Representative Burton in November, and he and others on the committee are supportive of having a full-time dedicated resource prosecutor. They just don't think that there's going to be any funds this year. But he says it can never hurt to ask, and so I'm going to continue to ask, meet with members of the Appropriations Committee, and see if we can make something happen. At the same time, I met with UOVC. For those that have been around for a while, there's a handful left. When Donna Kelly was the resource prosecutor, she was funded primarily through grant funds from UOVC. And the only reason we lost the grant funds is the person that was with the UOVC that year failed to submit a timely grant application, which resulted in, that was one of the reasons that Donna left, but it also resulted then in HB 200, where we got the dedicated funding. So it was kind of a mixed blessing. But I met with UOVC to talk about getting funding for a sexual assault resource prosecutor, and they talked to me about the STOP grant. And I've got the details there in the minutes that they explained. How the grant funding is divided out, that under Romanet 5, paragraph 6, it talks about how 20% of the total grant funds have to be addressed or assigned specifically to sexual assault resources. I'm not a math guy. I've got 100% up above that, and then to add another 20%, but I understand what they're saying. And they suggested that rather than apply for grant funding for a DV prosecutor, I apply for grant funding for a sexual assault prosecutor. And, you know, they obviously know who Trent is, and I asked, well, how would that work? You know, would that be considered supplanting? Because those of you that have worked with grants know that we're not supposed to supplant. And we talked about it, and they felt pretty confident that if I were to apply for a DV grant-funded position and use those grant funds to pay Trent's salary and then use the dedicated funds or use those grant funds to pay a salary and then pay the salary of a sexual assault resource prosecutor, that we could probably make that work. They said that I probably wouldn't get the full, last year I asked for $233,000 for a resource prosecutor. Again, as I explained, that's the high end of a salary because we would like to hire somebody with quite a bit of experience. But also would cover all of the travel, all of the training. There's several national conferences that Trent could be going to if he had the time. We could use those funds to scholarship attorneys, or our prosecutors, to go to some of this national training, get some additional training. But they said that we probably wouldn't get the high end of that, but to apply for as much as we can, and then we would have to absorb, I mean, if the grant was awarded, and they felt fairly confident, and of course I can't guarantee, but they felt fairly confident that that would happen, but then we would have to absorb the balance of that with our budget. And so coming back full round with the budget is I think we would be able to do that. I'm projecting that we're gonna have, you know, a really healthy carryover between 80 and 100,000. And so we could, if all goes as planned, we could absorb that. What my plan would be is still approach the legislature with the funding, because the session starts, obviously, you know, starting now, and this grant application wouldn't be due until the 1st of March, and so I'd have a pretty good idea by March or when the application is due whether or not the legislature would be able to fund some of this position. And so that's my plan: hit the legislature up, and then have the grant application in the wings, ready to go. My counterpart, North Carolina, has given me a copy of her grant application to look at. I've got Donna's old applications that I can look at, so I've got a pretty good base. I'm not having to start from scratch on that. My only concern with, you know, funding it through a grant, this position through a grant, is the grant is a two-year grant, and you know we have a history where the grant hasn't been renewed. And so who are we going to attract? When we hired Trent, we didn't have a ton of applications, which I know many of you experience. You know, it's just been hard to hire. And so when we opened up Trent's position, we had a couple of brand new, well, I take that back. I had probably about a dozen applications. Half of them were all brand new law school graduates. You know, we can't hire a brand new law school graduate, we get that. And so Trent and only one other person really had that qualifications. And so that's going to be my concern, is if it's grant funded, are we going to attract the type of people that we want? And my feeling is I know I hate to turn down grant money, but if we're not getting somebody that we trust and that we'll be able to adequately train and do what we want to do, I'm thinking that either we don't hire immediately or we turn down grant funds. I mean, I don't know, what do you all think?
It doesn't hurt you long term if you turn that down, right?
That's,
if you deny,
I don't
it now,
think so. Yeah.
You apply, you get it, you don't receive it.
Yeah.
2 years from now, we're in a position to try again. Is that gonna hurt your chances?
I would hope not. I would hope that UOVC would be on the same page with us, is that we want somebody qualified in this position to do the training. You know, because somebody just, even with just a year or two experience, this isn't going to have either the actual in-court experience, isn't going to have the credibility with law enforcement to go in and train. I mean, that's what Trent has, is while he doesn't have, you know, 20 years experience or 25 or whatever Donna had when she came and worked for us, you know, his law enforcement background, you know, being an SVU detective, that in these types of crimes, you know, immediately establishes credibility, plus, you know, the 7, 8 years, 9 years that he had prosecuting them. So he more than adequately made up for